This is a CKTZ news update. Earlier this year, the Cortez Community Health Association provided a free online workshop concerning sexual health education for kids. The workshop was provided by certified sexual health educator Carrie Isham. Isham trains professionals, parents, and caregivers in three main areas, which include creating a culture of child protection, sexual health education for children and youth, and information regarding the long-term impacts of pornography. Isham began by discussing how kids from rural areas might be less exposed to misinformation about sexual health than kids who live in the city.
I think kids who don't have as much access to social media and online time are probably exposed to a lot less. If families spend more time together, chances are they may talk about this more often versus a family where people are so busy all the time, working, trying to hold down multiple jobs to make ends meet. Definitely, I've taught on many smaller islands, and I've taught in the school like Thetis Island, for example, where it's like one room, two rooms. So yeah, I think there is a difference between, like, especially if I was talking inner city school versus child that was growing up on one of the Gulf Islands. Yeah, I think there's a difference.
Like, you started this a long time ago, and how did you get into it?
Well, I have a 4-year phys ed degree and an education degree. And then I have my certification in sexual health education from Options for Sexual Health. Most definitely, I do a lot of professional development to keep really up to date. I do a lot of reading of evidence-based research. I'm in a bunch of different groups of people who are doing similar work. Basically, as a first-year teacher in 1996, I took over someone's grade 7 class, and it said it was personal planning at the time. The curriculum's changed, the name has changed 4 times since I've been a teacher. And it said that I had to do the reproductive system. Oh, and I used an overhead projector to beam up the, you know, male and female reproductive system to know the parts. And I wasn't comfortable doing it. I just did it because it was part of the curriculum. And then in 2009, I decided to leave a full-time continuing job to venture off to create Power Up Workshops, which is now Power Up Education as of the last few years. So I just really noticed my last year of teaching, I had grade 8s who had me for an entire semester of sexual health education. And I really felt that those kids were really ready to move on to high school, that they were well-equipped. And I wanted to offer that to other students other than the kids at my school. I think what parents and caregivers need to understand is as soon as you decide to give a child a device, that's when we have to have conversations about, you know, sexual images that they may see on a screen, because no parent is watching their child on their device the entire time they're on it. They can access things through YouTube. You know, the statistics right now are, you know, for boys, the average age for first time viewing of pornography is about 8 or 9, and girls after that.
Right. And what about the school in terms of sexual health education?
Well, I'm going to say as a whole, we're not doing a great job. There are some schools that may be doing an excellent job. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I can honestly say that I've spent 25 years advocating for teachers to teach the curriculum, advocating for parents to even know that there is a curriculum. Pretending that people are doing sex ed is neglectful, and we can't use the excuse, I just don't feel comfortable anymore. There was a 2022 study that was just released, 2 things that teenagers want to know about. Tell me how to have healthy relationships. And if I'm in an unhealthy relationship, what do I do? And tell me about pleasure. Because in pornography, the kids don't see pleasure. They see fantasy. They see people being hurt. They see people, who don't even know each other, paid actors and actresses. So for me, we're not doing enough.
And so it's a good idea to just have that conversation with the school as well.
I need parents to advocate harder. I need parents at a very basic level to talk to their kids, to buy books, to take workshops with them. I need parents to talk to teachers about when are you teaching sexual health education. I need the PAC to put pressure, if necessary, on the administration to take accountability for the sex ed happening in the schools. This is something that If you talk to any sexual health educator, they will say not enough's being done. If you talk to most administrators or upper management in school districts, they will say the teachers have been trained. And maybe they were once 5 years ago, but we have new teachers coming in all the time and they're not getting the training in university either. It's the phys ed teachers that are supposed to be teaching sexual health education. The kids want this, need it, and deserve it. And we're doing a huge disservice, particularly after 2 years of COVID, where people have been spending ridiculous amounts of time online. Our kids are very at risk for sexual harm. There's groupings of people that believe that this education should be taught at home, which I think is wonderful, as long as it's being taught at home, and as long as kids are getting accurate and up-to-date scientific information. You know, there has been resistance. I think for me, because I'm the person that shines a very bright light on topics that people don't want to talk about, I could write a very thick book just to let people know the stuff that I've had to deal with just to get access to children, to share with them information that is mandated by the BC Ministry of Education through the physical and health education curriculum.
And so at what age would you start having these conversations with children?
Two years of age. And we can have these conversations from infancy. Just having the conversations about consent from a very young age would start to shift things in a better direction.
Great. And so you've got a lot of resources on your website.
So I've set my dates for 2022-2023 school year. I start a 7-part teen series for youth 12 to 17 to be able to take part with a parent. It's one workshop per month for 7 months. We start with consent. Other topics are sexting, pornography, steps to safer sex, healthy relationships. My new one is on sex trafficking, which all families need to participate in. They need to know about this. And then gender and sexual orientation. I've also set up my preschool workshops, which are the private body parts, safe, unsafe, secret touch, and then my puberty age workshops on puberty and hygiene. And I will be doing workshops on how to talk to children and youth about pornography and creating a culture of child protection, which is basically why we need to teach early the kids are supposed to be getting kindergarten to grade three, and then the whole grooming process and what to do if a child discloses to you, and how can you tell if your child's been sexually abused. And it's a hard workshop, difficult content, but absolutely necessary for anybody who's parenting a child.
It's Power Up Education.
Yeah, it's www.powerupeducation.com. And if you head to my shop, it's got a bunch of pre-recorded courses and all four of my books. And then there's also a free resource section, which I encourage people to check out for recommended resources for different age groups. I think we are moving forward, definitely moving forward with the gender and sexual orientation stuff. But I think we're not keeping up with the challenges of kids being online.
Yeah.
We don't want people in our children's bedroom at night, but we're inviting them into our children's bedroom at night when we're not taking phones out of the children's room, where we're allowing them to recharge in the room. We're allowing them to be in the room by themselves. You know, age of consent is 16 in Canada. I really feel like teenagers don't need opportunities to have their phone until 2 o'clock in the morning, because I know what they're doing. And the reason I know what they're doing is because they tell me what they're doing. And studies show that between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., highest rate of people being on Pornhub. And those are teenagers.
Wow.
And they need their sleep.
Yeah.
For healthy mental health, they need their sleep.
Kate Madigan, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.